Blog Talk Radio.
Have you heard of passive aerobics? Now you can build muscle, burn fat, and enjoy the benefits of jogging a mile and a half in just 10 minutes. That's right, you can accomplish your fitness goals easier than you've ever dreamed. With the state-of-the-art Vibe Pro and Qi Pro fitness machines that are lightweight and small enough for any home or office, if you sit most of the day and want a great workout, or if you suffer from tight muscles from your exercise program, you will benefit from these body-balancing machines that the Hollywood stars use to feel and look great. For the best you, go to besthealthgallery.com. Best products, prices, and service, that's besthealthgallery.com. Or call 480-888-6548. 480-888-6548. Build muscle, burn fat, and enjoy the benefits of jogging a mile and a half in just 10 minutes. Call 480-888-6548. besthealthgallery.com.
Be a part of the next big technological breakthrough. Hi, I'm William Alec, President and CEO of Aurora Tech, a.k.a. Dr. Houdini on Vortex Network News. Free energy and anti-gravity technology now being developed at Aurora Tech will change the way we live and bring about a golden age for all mankind. Our motto, simply the most advanced technology on planet Earth. To get involved with great opportunities at Aurora Tech, please check out our website, auroratech.us. That's auroratech.us. auroratech.us. And call 480-474-4388. 480-474-4388. Simply the most advanced technology on planet Earth. auroratech.us.
Conspiracies, cover-ups, suppressed technology, UFOs, and extraterrestrial contact. Vortex Network News with your hosts, Aurora Light and Dr. Houdini.
Live from Scottsdale, Arizona, you're listening to Vortex Network News, and I am your host this evening, Dr. Houdini. Well, folks, we're getting ready for the big conference next week. Yes. I've been working very hard on this, and I'm putting together what I think are some breakthrough presentations. I'm giving two lectures next week. The first one, I believe, is the physics lecture, the Extraordinary Technology Conference lecture, which is going to be on transformers, free energy transformers, and how this all plays together here. And the other thing, too, you know, I've been also working on my patent application for all this, because what I plan to disclose is pretty much what's going to be described in the patent application. And I'm presently working on that very hard here. So it's going to be, I think, perhaps one of the most interesting conferences that I presented at yet here. I mean, it's going to be, I think, an awesome presentation here. Now, the second lecture, I think, is going to be given Saturday afternoon. That's going to be the coffee conference, and it's going to be developing practical warp drive engine technology. And I'm also working on that presentation as well. So hopefully I'll get everything done. And let me tell you, it's been a lot of work putting all this together. And if you caught any of my previous lectures, of course, you know, I do put a lot of work, you know, into these presentations. I also have a white paper that I've been working on here. And, you know, what's interesting about this paper that I wrote a number of years ago, and you can actually find it on my other website. That's the intellect.com website. And what that is, it's a collection of a body of work here that I put together, I would say starting right around 2000. And, you know, back then, there really wasn't that much available. You know, I put together a library. You can actually check out the library of information that I collected. But the Overunity Free Energy Technology was always pretty much of a mystery. And, you know, a legitimate device put together back in the mid-80s, of course, was the Floyd Sweet device. And that has always been one of my perhaps most intriguing devices that was, I think, ever conceived, really. I mean, it's just, it's an incredible free energy over unity device. And I finally have an explanation of how that device worked. And that is, it's all going into this patent application that I've been putting together. Because really, there's nothing out there at all that describes this concept. Now, I've been saying for quite some time here that our technology is based primarily on one and only one concept, and that is the magnetic dampening field effect. And this phenomena occurs when you force opposing magnets together. And I'm going to be showing that as a demonstration at the conference here. I will be demoing that effect, which I think is very interesting. And it occurs when you force two magnets together. Now, in the attractive mode, so to speak, the magnets what happens is that when the magnets are in the attractive configuration, of course, they want to slam together, right? Well, it turns out that the field, the magnetic field, increases, okay, that both fields of the magnets together and increase the overall field effect. And you can actually see that when I do the demonstration. Now, when I set up these magnets in the opposing configuration, however, the fields cancel one another. So in other words, though that's what they would say in the textbooks, is a field cancellation effect. And I don't really think that's what's going on at all, according to my research, because what's happening is that there's a forcing function. It's not the same as a decreasing magnetic field. There's a forcing function occurring, forcing the fields to cancel. There's an actual forcing function present, as opposed to just a diminishing magnetic field. Okay, with no force forcing that field to collapse, as it would. So I'll be doing that demonstration where I show this opposing action that occurs, and you can actually see the field vanish. So, and that is really the root of our technology. Because you can take that collapsing field that, and I like to call it a dampening field effect. And there's only two places where you hear this occurring of a dampening field. And that is, of course, on Star Trek, you know, episodes of Star Trek, where you hear a dampening field phenomena has occurred, and also in the UFO phenomena. And that's the other area where you hear of a dampening field effect. And it has an influence. You know, it's a field, it's an active field that can influence outside of that, of what you see when you force these magnets together. That field, that's an active field effect, and they can influence, you know, for example, circuits around that dampening field effect. And of course, you saw that in the episode of Star Trek where it shuts down electronics. You also see this phenomena occurring with the UFO phenomena, that when these UFO craft approach, let's say one of our fighter jets, for example, it shuts down the electronics in the fighter jet. And so when the craft moves away, okay, the dampening field effect leaves the area there. And the influence of that field no longer affects the electronics. So all the power comes back on again. So this dampening field effect is a real phenomena, and that's what we're using here in our technology. And of course, we're introducing this right away, you know, as our nano water restructuring technology, because it can affect the structure of water, you know, this dampening field effect. Also, I want to say here that I'm talking about our biotech division, okay, with this dampening field technology. So it affects water, living organisms. We have it in our vitality healing pad, and also in our fast grow technology. You know, what we observe is accelerated growth, plant growth, utilizing this dampening field effect. Now, the other area that I'm working on here, that presently with the patent, is in the area of the applying this technology to transformers. You know, a dampening field effect to transformers. And so, what I found out about this when I started working on the equations is that you take the dampening field effect, you apply it to a transformer. And what that does is that, you know, see, the dampening field effect is lower energy, and it can influence the power, you know, the energy that you have in a transformer. You know, if that transformer is running, it can lower that energy level. And so this is exactly what Floyd Sweet did back in the 1980s, is that he was creating a dampening of field effect and was applying it to transformer technology. Now, if you read any of his writings, you know, Floyd Sweet's writings, you'll notice that he, at least I have, noticed that he doesn't mention you know, what these magnets are actually doing to the circuit. And there's virtually nothing in his documentation that alludes to any sort of dampening field effect at all. But indeed, that is what's occurring when I ran through the calculations. Because what we're doing is decreasing the energy around that transformer. And what that does is influence the magnetic component. Because what a transformer does, it converts electrical energy to magnetic energy back to electrical energy. So you have the input, which is electrical energy, that is converted in the transformer to magnetic energy that your flux that's produced inside the transformer, and that is what's flows through the magnetic material to from one coil to the next coil. That's your magnetic component. So if you have electrical to magnetic, and then from magnetic, which is going to your output coil, back to an electrical system. Okay, and that's what drives your load. So you have, so looking at the transformer, what it basically is electrical to magnetic, back to electrical. Okay. What we're influencing here with our dampening field effect, because it is a magnetic dampening field effect, we're affecting the magnetic component of this transformer. We're influencing that magnetic component. And so that's going to have a direct impact on the current that is being supplied to the transformer. Okay. The voltage will always remain the same. When you have a voltage being applied to the transformer from a voltage source, that voltage source will always generate, you know, for example, you plug it into the wall, you have 120 volt AC RMS. Okay. You supply that to the transformer. So your voltage input to the transformer is 120 volts AC. That doesn't change at all. What changes is the current being supplied to that transformer, the power, you know, the real power, the real energy being sent to that system, okay, that transformer. And so when we apply this dampening field to the transformer, we're actually affecting the magnetic component of that. Now, according to Faraday's law, okay, is that we have a voltage producing a flux in that transformer. That doesn't change at all. We don't really impact that flux at all. So what happens here is that flux then produces on the output coil a voltage on your secondary. And let's just say that the number of windings between the input and output, the input and output coils are the same. Let's just assume here that the number of windings are the same. So you put 120 volt AC RMS, okay, into your transformer, the output will be 120 volt AC output. And it's just the way that these transformers work is that you set up a flux path inside the core of the material, and that doesn't change at all. So when we go and change the magnetic environment of that transformer, that always remains the same. You're going to have 120 volts coming in, 120 volts coming out of that transformer. And so that 120 volt load, or the output on that transformer secondary, can drive a real load. So you have real power. Okay. If you have a resistor on the output of that transformer, let's say a 1 ohm resistor, then the power is just simply voltage times, it'd be the voltage divided by the resistance, would give you what that current flowing through that secondary circuit is. Because we have a 1 ohm load, 120 volt AC on the output. Okay. So that would be V equals IR, okay, 120 amps, okay, flowing through that 1 ohm resistor, all right? Now we come along with our technology here. We apply a dampening field to the transformer, Now, it turns out that that doesn't influence Faraday's law in this case. Okay? That a field dampening effect applied to the transformer, you're still going to have 120 volt AC coming out of that transformer just because the flux is still set up in there. What gets influenced, okay, by that magnet, that dampening field effect, is the current being supplied to the transformer, okay, that's being delivered from the power source, the voltage source. It actually decreases that current, okay? The dampening field effect is going to affect the current being delivered to the transformer. It's going to affect that. And what's so interesting about transformers, or the way that circuits work, you know, when we look at the phase relationship, you know, when you drive a coil, for instance, is that you have a phase shift between the voltage and the current. Okay, that's one aspect, you know, of what we're talking about here. Because that's what you have with the transformer. With the transformer, you have a coil on the input side and a coil on the output side of the transformer. So really, the voltage source, the load on the voltage source, is your coil. All right. Now, the load for the transformer is the resistor, is the 1-ohm resistor. And so when what determines the phase shift between the voltage and the current is your load, which I found that out is absolutely true. That's what determines the phase shift between the voltage and the current is the load that you put on the circuit. And so in this case here, just to reiterate, the voltage source is supplying power to the input coil of the transformer, and that coil is going to cause a phase shift, okay, between the voltage and current. The output of the transformer driving the 1-ohm load, there's no phase shift at all. And you have no phase shift because you're driving a real load with the transformer. So when we do our phasor, what we call in electrical engineering our phasor analysis, we see that we have a phase shift between the voltage and current going into the input of the transformer. We have a phase shift on the output of the transformer. Okay, because you're driving a real load, the 1-ohm resistor. Okay, so what happens when we put this dampening field effect, you know, on this transformer? Well, we discovered here that it changes the input current being delivered to the transformer. All of a sudden, we see this big drop occur. In other words, hardly any current. Here we are driving a load, right? You're driving a real load with this transformer. You put a dampening field on the transformer, and all of a sudden, the input power drops. The real input power drops significantly. And when you do the calculations for efficiency on your transformer, you find out that the transformer is like, has an efficiency way beyond 100%. And that's what's so intriguing about this, is that we see a dramatic increase on the efficiency of our transformers just by supplying a dampening field effect to the transformer. And so it turns out that the energy, okay, being delivered here, this dampening field effect is forcing the supply current, okay, to go not negative, but into the it becomes a complex number. Okay? The current becomes a complex number. And so that's what we actually see here, is a complex current being supplied to this transformer. So the whole thing is very fascinating, to say the least. Very interesting. So here we are driving a real load, watts, with the transformer, when we only have milliwatts feeding the transformer. On the input side of that transformer is only milliwatts, and you have watts coming out of it. So that is what the calculations show. Okay, well, we're coming up on a break here. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Vortex Network News. I am your host this evening, Dr. Houdini, and we'll be right back.
I woke up every day in the Air Force thinking I've got the best job in the world. Airplanes, jets, propeller planes, rockets, spaceships, starships. If it left the surface of the Earth and went somewhere else on an adventure, it just captured my imagination. The opportunities that the Air Force can offer are boundless. When opportunity knocks at your door, be bold, be courageous in following that dream, step across that threshold and into that new adventure. My name is Colonel Alvin Drew, and I am an American Airman.
I want to prepare you for what you're about to see, Mr. Mulder. Do you know what an ARV is?
That's an alien replica vehicle.
Given your background, I would have thought you'd seen one.
No, never, not like that.
Tad O'Malley takes Mulder to see an ARV, an alien replica vehicle.
But we're showing you we do at great risk. Colleagues have had labs burned to the ground and work destroyed by our own government.
This vehicle is said to be running on free energy.
Simply the energy of the universe. No fuel, no flame, no combustion. Simple electromagnetic field.
There's a tremendous attention to detail on the show, and there always has been.
What I'm going to show you next is the most unbelievable part.
When I saw that first ARV, I was blown away by the texture of it, the scale of it.
we're back. You're listening to Vortex Network News. I am your host this evening, Dr. Houdini. All right. Well, we're talking about the physics of free energy over unity transformers. And let me tell you, I find it to be an extremely fascinating subject. Now, the description here that I gave for the Tesla Tech group here, the abstract, and I'll just talk about what our technology is going to be that I'm going to describe here in my presentation. So I'm going to pick up with in 2002, an article published in Infinite Energy magazine, authored by Don Hodson, revealed how the VTA device, now talk about the Floyd Sweet device, operates utilizing what is called the Dirac-C of negative energy. The key to understanding how free energy over unity transformers work is through the application of a negative work function. Now, here I'm talking about the dampening field effect, okay, that you can apply to a transformer. This negative work function is created using magnets forced together in an opposing field configuration. The opposing field action causes the magnetic field density to curl into Dirac complex space, causing the field to become complex. This in turn forces the input current to become a complex number. Because of this action, what is observed on a typical ammeter, okay, is a significant reduction of the real electric current. Ammeters cannot measure complex current. Therefore, the real input current appears to vanish. Given a complex magnetic field density, calculations show the field energy in a given volume of space becomes negative, which satisfies the negative energy solution of the Dirac equation. This field is referred to as an electromagnetic dampening field and is present around the transformer. Since the output power of the transformer drives a real load, the output electric current is real. Okay, and we talked about this during the first half hour of the show, and that's pretty much due to Faraday's law of induction, that the flux in the transformer, basically you're driving the input, creating the flux in the core, and that flux is present on the output of that same flux is present on the output of the transformer, creating the voltage output. So if you have 120 volts coming in, you'll have 120 volts coming out, and that 120 volts is driving a real load, which could be, a 1-ohm load. So that's real power. You can have real power coming out, but yet the input power is almost zero. And if you use an ideal transformer, okay, with an opposing field outputting a lot of negative energy, that input power could essentially be zero, okay? So that when you go and compute the efficiency of that transformer, you know, it could be well over 100%. It could be 1,000, 10,000, 100,000. And Floyd Sweet had his device running at, I believe it was somewhere around 1,000,000% efficiency. And theoretically, it can be infinite. You can have infinite efficiency with this technology. Okay, so getting back to the description here. Therefore, efficiencies greatly exceeding 100% are measured. This permits the construction of self-sustainable free energy over Unity devices with phenomenally large observable power gains. This lecture will show how consistent and valid using ordinary classical analysis works at the macro scale as well as at the quantum level. Now, here's what's so interesting. You know, when you look at it at the quantum level, the electron, what the calculations show, and you can actually, you know, I did these calculations over 10 years ago. You'll find it in the gravitomagnetic theory section over there at my other website, intellect.com website. I wrote a paper, a book, actually, where I get into details here. And I show that the electron, being a very curious fundamental particle, it has no substance. It is just a spinning vortex. There are no internal fields within its radius. There's no fields, and those would be no magnetic or electric fields. And the other interesting thing is that there's no mass. The electron has no mass. It is just a spinning vortex of nothing. All right. Now, where is the mass of the electron? Because we can measure the mass of that electron. Well, it turns out that it's external to the electron. The mass of the electron is on the outside of that particle. So are the electric and magnetic fields. And so part of my presentation, I'll be getting into some of the quantum level of this discussion here on the electron, that the mass of the electron is actually the angular momentum that the electron has. It's just a spinning vortex of nothing. It has this electric field associated with it, and also has a magnetic field component. And so the angular momentum is what gets transferred. I'll be talking about the ether. I'll give some discussion with the ether, that the ether is nothing more than electron-positron pairs, and they form circuits in space, all right? And that is your flux, okay, that we talk about in engineering purposes here. That is your electric and magnetic flux. And they can be in line with one another, the electric and magnetic components, the fields related to the electron. They can be in line or they can be offset. And that's your phase relationship, okay, that occurs in inductors and in capacitors, is that they alter the phase of the electron. So that would be your phase angle between the magnetic pole and the electric component of the electron. And so the orientation of that electron is very critical. And I'll probably touch on that a little bit. Pretty much the architecture of an electron and the, you know, how it forms the ether, which is composed of electron-positron pairs. And those pairs, when they become polarized, acquire angular momentum from the electron, and they flow in a direction from the negative source, okay, from your electron, to it has to find a positron, okay, to link up to. And that's where the electron-positron pairs forms these links in space. Okay, and that's your field. That is your electric and magnetic fields, are these electron-positron pairs acquiring and dumping angular momentum at a fixed speed. And that fixed speed is, of course, the speed of light. Now, it turns out that there's forces, okay, between these links, okay, between between these links that form, you know, when you polarize the ether, that's where you form these electric and magnetic fields. And they can be torqued. And when they're torqued, these fields, you can actually change the phase angle of that angular momentum. And that's where we get into the Dirac sea of negative energy. Because when you set up opposing fields with magnetics, okay, the links, the magnetic links aren't forming. Okay, because you have opposing magnetic fields, those links that have formed, okay, between a you know, a positive pole and a negative pole, okay, the links that are formed by the ether, they're pushed apart. They are actually torqued, and that affects the phase angle of the angular momentum, okay, that's being transferred, the energy that's being transferred along that polarized link. And when that happens, when you change the phase angle or the angular momentum, you're actually changing the mass of the electron, all right? You're changing the mass of the electron in that case. And that's what occurs when you see this dampening field effect of what's happening there, is that you're forcing a torque on these long polarized chains to occur. You're changing the phase angle of that angular momentum, and so you're actually affecting the mass. Now, this is a field effect phenomena because the mass of the electron is actually in the field. Okay, that's being transported at the speed of light as angular momentum. That's also referred to as a photon. What is a photon? A photon is nothing more than angular momentum polarizing these chains as they move along, as it propagates at the speed of light. See? It's just angular momentum. That's all that a photon is. So a photon really is neither a wave nor a particle. It's neither one. It's just angular momentum, you know, given this Hodgson model. Okay, so when we set up opposing fields, it torques these long flux chains of polarized electron-positron pairs, and so we get this torquing action that occurs in the vacuum here, that occurs in the ether. And so we get a mass modification. Now, what we are in fact doing is changing the energy that is in that field. Because the energy, when we form these long polarized chains, that's positive energy. Okay. When we torque those long chains of angular momentum, we're affecting the mass and forcing the energy of that field, in this case, to become negative. You can actually have negative energy associated with that torquing action on that angular momentum. So we're affecting the mass, forcing the mass to go negative. The change in mass becomes negative in that case. And so I wrote down this equation that can actually compute the velocity that electron is moving in a circuit, producing a magnetic field. And so when the energy of that field is affected, okay, if it's a positive energy change, the electron's going to be moving in the in real space. When you decrease the energy, the field energy of that electron, you're actually decreasing its mass. Decrease the field energy, E equals mc squared. Decrease the field energy, you decrease the mass of that electron. And the electron will no longer move in real real space. It has a complex component to it, which means that it has curled into Dirac hyperspace. So the velocity, it now becomes complex, okay? And according to theory here, it can entirely vanish from real space. The electron can become so negative, with negative energy, acquires so much negative energy, that the electron could become, what would you call it, an anti-electron? I'm not sure what the language is. Because this is so new, I mean, we literally have to invent new words to describe what is going on here, okay? But the electron will vanish from real space. And we see this phenomena occurring with the UFO phenomena, that the craft is there, all of a sudden it blinks out, you no longer see it. So what it has simply done is that the whole craft, all right, with this dampening field effect around it, anti-gravity associated with dampening fields, the craft is just the material made up made in the craft here has just curled right into hyperspace. So the craft is still there; you can't see it; it's invisible, but it is has curled right into Dirac hyperspace. So I can touch on all these incredible subjects. A lot of language I don't think has been invented yet, unless you watch an episode of Star Trek. Because the dampening field effect comes right out of this phenomena. Okay, so I thought that's pretty fascinating. So, yeah, I'm going to talk about this, at the conference. I should have the patent done very soon here, the patent app that covers the physics in regards to this free energy over unity transformers. What happens when you apply a dampening field effect to a transformer? These are the effects you'll observe. These are the equations that correspond to these effects. So that's what I plan to have done here before the conference and incorporated in my presentation. So that means that I have all my work cut out for me here. And so, let's see what else. That is mainly what I'm going to be talking about. The other paper that I'll be giving here, the other lecture, Developing Practical Warp Drive Engine Technology. What I plan to do for this lecture is cover the various technologies that are already out there, that have been around for decades, starting off with the Byfield-Brown effect that goes all the way back to the 1920s. And this is when you apply vacuum polarization, okay, using a high voltage. So you can have vacuum polarization with electric devices here, and also working with magnetic devices, or a combination of both. You can actually have both here, creating a warp drive field effect with this. So I'll be showing, talking about how these long chains are formed in the ether. That's the polarization effect. And when you introduced an asymmetric polarization effect, where you concentrate the ether at one point and then you spread the ether out at another point, what that does is create asymmetry, okay? Because with electric and magnetic fields, like I said before, the mass of the electrons on the outside, and it's in the angular momentum of that electron. That's where the mass is. You're essentially concentrating the mass at a point and then spreading out the mass somewhere else. That's creating a vacuum polarization effect. And that is actually your warp drive signature, because you're concentrating mass at one end, rarefaction of the mass at the other end, and you're creating this gravity well at the front of your craft. And the show's over. I'm sorry, we just ran out of time.